I've got a victory living inside of me. I got the greater one. I can overcome. This ain't no time to turn back, no place to grow slack. I gotta keep pressing on till every battle is won.
Good morning, class.
Good morning, Brother Keith.
Hi, I'm Keith Moore, and this is Faith School. Faith School's the place where my spirit is fed, where my faith grows stronger, and where I learn how to be an overcomer. There's much to learn about these things. It's learning to be like Jesus. It's learning to walk like Him. And it's learning to allow the greater one inside you to do all that He wants to do in causing victory and triumph in our lives. Get your Bible, get something to make a note with. Come on into the class and turn off, tune out everything else. Give the Lord His Word, His Spirit your full attention. We saved you a seat right here where I can look real close and see if you're getting this or not. So come on. Come on in. Father, all of us do agree as touching these things, asking for the anointing, the utterance, the direction, the help. You are so gracious to give it to us, so faithful. You have sustained us this far, and we're confident you'll take us the rest of the way. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
We've been on a series for a number of weeks now that we're calling Faith for provision. And we're asking and answering the question, is it God's will for us to have abundant provision in our life? Is it always God's will? And is it God's will for all of us? Now that's, you know, if you listen to other people talk, you can see many people do not believe that. They don't believe it's always God's will for all of us to have abundant provision. And it's because they've accepted some things as truth that are not truth. A lot of church-going people and theologians and ministers, they subscribe to a belief that God is controlling everybody and everything, and that everything that happens is somehow the will of God. But this is not true. I said, this is not true. And there are all kind of things happening on the planet that are not God's will. You know, He prayed, taught us to pray, Thy will be done on earth. How? As it is in heaven. Showing God doesn't have two separate different wills. Well, how are things in heaven? You know, from everything we read about, there's no lack there, right? There's no curse, there's no disease, there's no... And so if God's will is already being done, we don't need to pray that it would be done. No, people are dying lost, and never is that the will of God. People are rejecting Jesus and refusing to believe on Him and be saved. No way is that ever the will of God. Peter said, He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So there's a manward side to these things. It matters what we hear, taught, preached, that kind of thing. It matters what we choose to believe and receive and act on. If you will believe the truth that God is a good God, hallelujah, that He always wants you to have abundant provision. If you believe that and receive that and act on that, He will show up for you.
Amen.
He will.
Amen.
He will do things for you. He'll bring in things that you need and even things that you just enjoy.
Amen.
He's a good God.
Yes.
He gives us richly all things to enjoy, the Scripture said. So, not leaving that to one person's opinion, mine or whoever, we're looking at Scripture. And we're going one after another through 30 reasons from scriptures why we are sure abundant provision is always God's will for us all. Go ahead, say it out loud if you believe it. Abundant provision.
Abundant provision.
Abundant provision.
Abundant provision.
Is always.
Is always.
God's will.
God's will.
For us all.
For us all.
I mean, this is exactly like saying being saved is always God's will for all. Yeah, but is everybody saved? No, they're not. But it's still God's will.
Yes.
He doesn't change. It's just people have a free will. Say it again. Abundant provision,
abundant provision is
always God's will,
for me.
For me. Every day of my life. You believe that? Every day. Every day of my life. God's will is that I have more than enough. More than enough. More than enough for all that we need. And above that, able to give.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
That's the will of God. And so we looked, our first reason was the Lord is my shepherd. Then we went one by one until we're now down to number 15 in our study. Like we mentioned in earlier classes, if you weren't with us, you didn't hear these earlier messages, let me encourage you, go online to faithschool.org. And they're all there. And some of them are in different languages. There's a number of different languages. If English is not your first, your language might be there. Or you might be able to send it to a friend or family. And there's no charge, no cost at all to you. Take advantage of it. The Lord, through our partners, has underwritten this, and it's for you. And we're down to number 15. We are sure. Somebody say sure.
Sure.
We're sure abundant provision is always God's will for us all because of His provision in the wilderness. Provision where?
In the wilderness.
In the wilderness. We read this, and I'll just read it to you again. Deuteronomy 2:7. It says, the Lord your God has blessed you in all the works of your hands. He knows you're walking through this great wilderness. These 40 years, the Lord your God has been with you. You have lacked nothing. You'll find that phrase numerous times in the scriptures. Lacked nothing. Lacked nothing. Is that the will of God? Nehemiah 9, verse 19 says, in your manifold mercies, you didn't forsake them in the wilderness. Verse 20, you gave your good spirit to instruct them and didn't withhold your manna from their mouth. You gave them water for their thirst. Yea, 40 years did you sustain them in the wilderness so that they lacked nothing. Their clothes waxed not old and their feet swelled not. Now, you know, if God can keep your shoes from wearing out, mm-hmm. He could keep your washing machine going.
Yes.
Or your car.
Yes.
Huh?
Yes.
Or your lawnmower or whatever. The blessing of the Lord affects things like this. You know, it's a curse that you buy something and it breaks halfway before its expected life. That's not a blessing, right? Or you have problems with something, just recurrent problems. No, our stuff is blessed, right? And just like God can sustain you, how did He do that? Their shoes didn't wear out. And their clothes didn't wear out. How did He do that? Because this is a hot, dry, and you know dry tends to break stuff down. Dry, bone dry. And yet, they got shoes that's 30 years old that look good, feel good, right? Work well. The clothes still look good, feel good. Can God sustain you?
Yes.
He can sustain you. And what you'll find is He has renewing power. Mm-hmm. Renewing power. The Bible talks about the regeneration of the Holy Spirit. the washing of the water of the Word and the regenerating power of the Holy Spirit. The Bible says, even though our body is aging, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. As I'm getting older, I am not aging on the inside. I'm developing, but not aging. And certainly not wearing out. Now the body is getting older. Yeah, that's, you know, until the trump sounds and this is changed, that's what we got. But the inner man, oh, somebody say renewed, renewed, renewed. Well, see, your mind is part of your inner man. And your soul, your being, that's the most important part of you anyway. So everybody said out loud, I'm being renewed.
I'm being renewed.
Day by day.
Day by day.
So something was happening with their stuff along that line too, wasn't it?
Yes.
God is the renewer. He is the regenerator. He is the refresher.
Yes.
Could anybody use some today? Would you take some?
Yes.
Huh? Everybody watching with us, lift your hands and say it out loud. Father, I receive, of the washing of the water of your word. And the renewing
of your spirit.
The regeneration
of your Holy
Spirit. Renewing me
inside
and touching me outside.
I receive it.
In Jesus' name,
I am renewed.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
You know, the psalmist said he anoints me with fresh oil.
Yes.
Huh?
Amen.
Fresh oil.
Yes.
Glory to God.
Glory.
Well, that's what was happening with them. Elsewise, you know, after a few years out in that desert, their shoes would have fell apart. Their clothes would have fell apart, you know. And they didn't have anything to replace it. There's no stores. There's no anything. There's desert, sand, hot, dry. That's it. And God demonstrated that He can and will provide regardless of your circumstances. It doesn't matter what your circumstances are. Now, it matters if you believe you can't prosper in those circumstances. And that's why the enemy will do his best to convince you of that. And that's why we talked about how he'll say, not now. And not here. You can't do it here. It's just not going to work, you know. But we need to quote Scripture and say, is there anything too hard for the Lord? And we need to declare and say, there is nothing impossible. There is nothing too hard for the Lord. Now, I don't believe this is just me talking today. The Spirit of God is speaking. You can get that thing now. In this time.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
In this season.
Yes.
In these days. In this year.
Yes.
Where you are.
Thank you.
You don't have to move somewhere else. It doesn't have to be a complete change of who's in charge or the company or any of this. Because our God meets our needs.
Yes.
Not according to all the stuff out here. According to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus.
Hallelujah.
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 Somebody say, I believe it.
I believe it.
I believe it.
I believe it.
Whew, thank you, Lord. Go to Psalm 27, please. In Psalm 27 and verse 13, he says this. He said, I had fainted unless I believed to see the goodness of the Lord. Where?
In the land of the living.
In the land of the living. That's now. That's here. And the Bible says in Galatians, we'll reap if we faint not. And that's what he was saying. I'd have fainted if I hadn't chosen to believe I would see it here and now. Because the enemy is always trying to wear you down and discourage you and get you to give up and get you to quit. And you know, that can happen if you let him convince you it's not going to work now. You can't expect to have that where you are in these circumstances. And if he can convince you, then you'll put things off and you'll say, well, maybe next year, maybe when we get through with this, maybe. And 1 year turns into five, turns into 10. And now that's where people get to the point of fainting. Of like, it's just been too long and it's not working. And well, what you got to remind yourself is it's not God's fault. People think they're waiting on him, and it's just not the case. Again and again, we missed it somewhere. And it can be in this area of letting somebody tell us, letting the wrong spirit bring a thought to our mind that we can't get it now. Said out loud, the goodness of the Lord. Where? In the land of the living. Verse 14 says, wait on the Lord. Be of good courage. Now that word wait doesn't mean just a passive thing. It's an expectation. If you look it up in other places, expect of the Lord. Be of good courage. He shall strengthen your heart. Wait or expect, I say, on the Lord. Today's English version says it like this. I know that I will live to see the Lord's goodness in this present life. Amen. Come on, somebody say, I'm seeing some things. Not just when I get to heaven. Here and now. In this present life. And then verse 14 goes on to say, trust in the Lord. Have faith. Do not despair. Trust in the Lord. Hallelujah. In Mark 10, if you'll notice there, Mark 10, this was the case of the rich young ruler. He came to Jesus and asked about eternal life. And the Lord told him he lacked one thing. And the thing he lacked was getting his trust out of his money. He had more trust in his money than he did in God. Well, the way to break that is to give it, right? Now, that doesn't mean you'll never have any again because, I mean, the Bible says you give to the poor, the Lord will repay you. And if you sow good seed and good ground, it's going to come back multiplied. But he wasn't willing to do it, which showed why the Lord put his finger on that. That was the issue. And it wasn't the money. It was loving the money. It was trusting the money. You'll hear people misquote scripture and say, well, you know, the Bible says money is the root of all evil. It does not say that. That is not true, and that's not the issue. Money has never been the problem. The scripture says the love of money. He says, well, you know, same thing. Not the same thing at all. You can love money and not have a dime. Just sit around and dream all day of what you could do if you had money. Well, if you can love money and not have any, you could have a lot and not love it. Right? No, money's not the issue. It's loving it. It's covetousness, which the Bible said is idolatry. He goes on to say in Mark 10, you know, that when the man went away and was sorrowful because he had great riches, and who was it? Peter that spoke up and said, well, Lord, we've left all. We've done it. What'll be to us? And he said, Mark 10, 29, Jesus said, verily I say to you, there is no man that has left house, our brethren, our sisters, our father, our mother, our wife, our children, our lands, for my sake in the Gospels, he will receive 100-fold. When?
Now.
Where?
Now.
Now? In this time, first word, houses,
yes.
Right?
Yes.
Plural, brothers, sisters, mothers, children, lands, mm-hmm. with persecutions. Mm-hmm. Not everybody will be happy about it, but that's their problem, not yours. And in the world to come, eternal life. Listening to God, believing God, obeying God, being willing to give, tithe, even being willing to sacrifice some things for the kingdom, it pays off in this life and in the world to come.
Amen.
Both. It's not just nothing here and everything later. Somebody say now. Now. Did Jesus know what he's talking about here in this verse? Now in this time. How much? Hundredfold. Hundredfold. Now in this time. Somebody say, thank you, Lord.
Thank you,
Lord. You know, 1 Timothy 4:8, without turning there, he said, godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. Living godly, walking with the Lord, it pays off.
Yes.
When?
Now.
Now. Right?
Yes.
And later. Here. Now. And there. He is the great I am.
Yes.
Not I used to be. Not I will soon be. I am. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And the great I am is right now.
Amen.
Right here.
Right here.
Right now. If you're ready to believe and receive, he was ready before you got here. Right? He never changes. His will has never changed. His power doesn't ebb and flow. And he's always been the God who took care of his people with abundant provision. Oh, somebody say, thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Let's go back to the Psalms. Go back to the Psalms. We see that in the wilderness, let's look at Psalm 105 again. We didn't quite get through with that one. Psalm 105 and verse 37. He brought them forth also with silver and gold. There was not one feeble person among their tribes. You know one reason he loaded them up with silver and gold? It was for their personal benefit. Because you got to remember, they were somebody else's property. They had nothing. Now they're rich. Hallelujah. They got stuff. They got money. And he's taking them into the promised land.
Yes.
But then also, he's going to want them to build a tabernacle.
Yes.
Where everything is made out of gold.
Yes.
And silver. Right?
Yes.
And he knows if they're thinking right, they're going to want to get in on this and give big offerings. Well, he's got them prepared ahead of time.
Amen.
Is that right?
Yes.
Before they even know, God's got a project for them to be involved in. He has loaded them up with silver and gold.
Yes.
Is he the same today?
Yes.
Well, do we need to do kingdom projects today? Do
yes.
we need to do
yes.
mission work and outreaches and evangelism and build churches
yes.
and all these things and
yes.
faith school? And,
yes.
Huh?
Yes.
Well, does he want this provided for today? Just like he never changes.
Amen.
It says, Egypt was glad when they departed. The fear of them fell upon them. He spread a cloud for a covering and fire to give light in the night. The people asked, and he brought quails, satisfied them with bread of heaven. He opened the rock, and the waters gushed out, ran in dry places like a river. He remembered his holy promise and Abraham his servant, and he brought forth his people with joy and his chosen with gladness.
Hallelujah.
Well, you ought to be happy. Is that right?
Yes.
You're no longer a slave. You are a free man. You're a free woman. You're a healed man, a healed woman. There's not one feeble person among your tribe. You're a rich man. You got a bunch of silver and gold. Should you be a happy?
Yes.
Huh? Brought forth his people with joy and his chosen with gladness. Now, I want you to go to Genesis and look, because it mentioned Abraham. Said he remembered his holy promise and Abraham his servant. This is amazing to me. Genesis 15:13. Now, this is centuries before what we read about in the Psalms of God delivering these people out of Egyptian bondage centuries before this in Genesis. God said to Abraham, "Know of a surety, your seed will be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. And also that nation whom they serve, they shall serve, will I judge. And afterward shall they come out with great substance." Four centuries before it happened, God said, "I'm going to put some money in their pockets." Is he still the same God today? He said, "I'm going to load them when they come out." Now in Exodus 12 and 40. Exodus 12 and 40, it says, "Now the sojourning of the children of Israel who dwelt in Egypt was 430 years. Now the other one, he just gave a round number, but this is specific, 430 years. And it, verse 41, are you looking?
Yes.
"And it came to pass at the end of the 430 years, even the selfsame day, it came to pass that all the hosts of the Lord went out from the land of Egypt." To the day he told Abraham he would do it, he did it. Talk about on schedule. On time. Brother, sister, you can trust your Bible.
Yes.
Is that right?
Yes.
What other works of a man can predict something 430 years, huh, into the future to the day with precision, and it happened exactly the way he said it would happen, where and when? This is our God who sees the end from the beginning. And what he saw and what he wanted was not just a bunch of religious junk. He wanted his people set free.
Yes.
Free.
Yes.
And he wanted them healed.
Yes.
And he wanted to load them up with money.
Yes.
Is that right?
Yes.
He used to be like this.
Yes.
This used to be God.
Yes.
When did he change? He didn't change. Men changed.
Yes.
Religion changed. Yes. Tradition changed, but God has not changed. And this is why we're sure.
Yes.
It's God's will.
Yes.
For all of us to have abundant provision, because he's always done this, providing for his people perfectly, abundantly, no matter where they are. Time's up again today. We'll see you tomorrow here in Faith School.
I've got the victory living inside.
Thank you for joining us at Faith School. Class is dismissed for today, but you can watch this and other episodes of Faith School free of charge at faithschool.org. For more information, visit our website or call us at 941-702-7390